So you had Wilhelm Reich, who was a promoted pedophilia. Wilhelm Reich edited the Frankfurt School's papers. Wilhelm Reich is worshipped by Rogers and Maslow and all these perverse, wicked men. And they have your children, not even in the schools, but in the churches. I've heard ministers say, "Wow, you're so blessed. I give you psychological counseling, and you don't get charged for it. It's for free." Well, Satan's counseling in the garden with Adam and Eve was free. It was dirt cheap, but it cost them their soul. You put your child in this classroom, you sacrificed. It's your fault. You sacrificed your child to the fires of Moloch. You gave your child to the beast. You did. God never, ever told any parent to sacrifice their child. They are to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord, to inculcate truth in them, to direct their steps so they might come to understand there is a God who directs all men's steps if we would humble ourselves before Him. I think this is wicked but brilliant on these men's parts. We don't have to come into America and tell them not to believe in God. We are a godless nation because education, where we sent our kids, said, "Okay, how do you feel? What do you think?" And we killed the father in their soul. We gutted them. I'm talking we because that was my teacher training. Now, I didn't continue because I knew there was something wrong. I didn't know what it was. But I repented my teacher training. It took years and years, read all these social psychology books, because I wanted to know for sure. And sure enough, there it is. These are their statements. These are the gods today of our leadership. These men are foundational. And Bloom writes, "There are many stories of the conflict and tension that these new practices are producing between parents and children." Wow, no wonder. He admits it in the book. In this book, every teacher, Christian schools are credited with Bloom's taxonomy. I just was at Liberty University. They are built on Bloom's taxonomy. They're getting rid of thesis papers, which is, you know, this is right and that's wrong. Totally embrace Bloom's taxonomy. Teachers have to teach, according to Bloom, kill God, kill Dad, kill the Word of God, kill the soul of those children, even in our so-called Christian universities and colleges. And Common Core, by the way, is training all these multiplied millions of kids. When they get in this process, when they get to the colleges, it's Mao's cultural revolution. They're going to purge whatever remnant of traditional professors are out there. They're going to be purged of. All the universities will be cleansed of righteousness. All of them. Because the professors are being graded by the students, and if the students come in with this process and the professor says that's wrong and this is right, and they're dictatorial. Arrogance on Campus, a book published in the 60s, was all about traditional parent teachers who insisted that students learn the facts and do what's right. They were mocked and ridiculed in the 60s. Now they're going to be purged from all learning environments, liberating culture from the fear of God. That's what Bloom says. Well, we have already a lot of stories of the tension that's in the homes, rebellion in the 50s and 60s against the parents. And then he admits on page 90 of the Effective Domain book, the Effective Domain is, in retrospect, a virtual Pandora's box, a box full of evils. Once you open the box, you can't close it, and what comes out is evil. Oh, we have hope coming out too, but it's Kant's hope. Hope is in happiness, happiness, pleasure, pleasures in the mind. That's dopamine. Dopamine is stimulated by gratification, gratifying objects in the environment. Therefore, we have all this of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father. Pretty simple, isn't it? And then Bloom on page 166 gives us the Weltanschauung, his worldview, and he gives us Erich Fromm and Theodor Adorno, members of the Frankfurt School, all about, instead of killing the father, shooting him like Lenin did, the kulaks, my land, not your land. We'll just take their children, put them in a classroom, put them with psychology and sociology, have them, you know, share how they feel, what they think, not with one counselor, but with a group. J.L. Moreno kept saying to Freud, he says, well, you do it one-on-one, do it in a group. And now we do it in a group, youth groups. That's what that is. You go to the youth group. If you don't have some, if it's a true Bible study, you're studying the Word of God. You're not going to hear, I feel, and I think. You say, the Word of God says, it is written, like Jesus. See, it is written, it is written, it is written. No, I guarantee you're going to have the young kid up front. Looks like some of them look like they came out of the bar. You know, how do you feel? What do you think? Liberating those children from the fear of God and love of His Word. I've had ministers yell at me for 45 minutes. We have to dialogue. They love their sin. In fact, they're doing exactly what Eric Fromm, who Bloom referred to as his worldview. Fromm writes in, "You shall be as gods." In the process of history, remember, man's history is from his birth on, his environment. Man gives birth to himself. See, the children are liberated. He becomes what he potentially is. That's flesh. And he attains what the serpent, the symbol of wisdom and rebellion, promised. Where's wisdom? It's rebellion wisdom. The rebellion was, I can think for myself, and there's the wisdom. I'll do what I feel like doing. I feel like eating that tree. Now, guilty conscience. I got to get rid of the guilty conscience. So if I can justify it, if the group can justify it, it's just human nature. I'm free of God. That's all Satan did. And what the patriarchal jealous God of Adam did not wish, that man would become like God himself. That's all that's happening in those classrooms, in the church, in the church growth, emergent church. That's why we are where we are today, a nation of abomination, because we've rejected the Word of God. Well, again, I've gone over, but I think I'll close this session right there. And this is why it's, go from Genesis to Revelation, read the Word of God. It's about the Father and His love. He's not a tyrant. Earthly fathers become tyrants if they're not under the Lord. And this is why this process always in the media attacks. You know, they find an example of a father abusing a child, and then that just inculcates in everybody, you can't trust these dads. You have to have child protective services. All these departments, all meeting in these group dynamic settings, practicing the Soviet. The Soviet is a diverse group with deviancy. You got to have the deviant in there. You got to tolerate ambiguity, tolerate unrighteous. Be silent. If you're silent in the midst of unrighteousness, unrighteousness becomes the standard. You have a diverse group dialoguing to consensus, no father's authority there. And it's a group hug. We all feel good. We all sold our soul to the collective experience, communism. Over social issues, relationship with others, those are social issues. In a facilitated meeting, you got to have the Adam and Eve wouldn't have sinned without the devil coming along and creating an environment where they could justify themselves. You know, the traditional system was always in place because dad could chase them, but if somebody can come in and, oh, you won't die, and create this environment where they can liberate their thoughts and tie it to their feelings. So the synthesis is thinking. That's the divine spark, is reasoning, critique of pure reasoning. How can we get to pure reasoning? Pure reasoning is free from God telling you what you can and cannot do. See, and so that's where this is all comes. And once a person gets there, the pride of life takes over. You can't talk to them. You know, not unless they crash. Not until they hit a wall. Then they might. But our culture will rescue them. Put them on drugs. Put their arms around them and say, "You're okay. I'm okay." No contrition, no conviction, no, you're going to be held accountable for your thoughts and actions before a holy and pure and righteous God. It's gone. Just lip service if it even gets there. And so we have embraced Satan's method. That's why the Antichrist will rule. Nations will all come together. Because all leadership has to go through this diverse group, the Soviet, dialoguing to consensus over social issues in a facilitated meeting to a predetermined outcome, that this is how you solve the problem. That's a group grade. You see these kids in a group, there's a diverse group, there's tradition, transition, transformational kids, the cannot kid, the most are just I feel, and then there's the thinkers, that's the leadership, and you have the diverse group dialoguing how they feel, what they think, to a consensus, to a common agreed solution over a social issue, socialist issue, and they'll start with the terrorists of the world or the kings out there who are tyrants, you know, over their people. And of course, the kids instantly correlate that to their home. You don't have to say, "Well, your dad's this." You just give them a few examples, and it's easy for them to say, "Well, there were moments in my life my dad told me I couldn't do what I wanted to do, and I wanted to kick him, and wish I could have killed him." See, a little car marks in them. That's all they're doing. Delivering the little car marks in all these kids. And get them in a group hug. You know, a room full of car marks hugging one another. Ready to go home. And annihilate their parents. See, don't listen to them. They're irrational. They're irrelevant. That's a Soviet system. You know, the group hug. It's the approval of men. You need to be seeking the approval of God. Because that's where eternity lies. You're just focusing on the world. It's just here and now. It's just in the moment. You hear that all the time. Living in the moment. Well, that's all Satan got Eve to do, is live in the moment. But if you're in the moment, it's you're only in the world that seems to be. And again, 1 Timothy 6:20, avoid the oppositions of so-called science. It seems to be science. Seems to be rational. But you see, that's where you lose your soul. That's where you lose eternal life. It's only in the Lord who is eternal, no shadow of turning with God. That's where he worships. See, the first thing Satan did was get Jesus to focus on his flesh, food. He said, yeah, I need the food, but you know what? The Word of God, what my dad says. I got some work going on here I need to be doing. I might be hungry, but you know what? I'm going to do what my dad says. I'm going to finish the job. You know, and then showing the kingdoms of the world, self-esteem is group esteem. Man, you need these people. They need you. And Jesus' response, you know what? I don't need the world. You know, you don't need anybody around you. You say, well, yes, I do. Well, in a way you do for your flesh, but you need the Lord. Nobody around you can save your soul. No, they can point you to who can. They can encourage you in your walk in him, but they can't save you. It's only he, you and him. There comes time in your life, it's just you and him. On the day of judgment, it's just you and him. It's just one. And so if you get tied into this two or more, that's you talking to yourself and dialoguing with the world, and you make that your means to salvation, you're not saved. You're not going to be saved. It's just one. So this is why I always begin and end with trust in the Lord with all your heart. Where you spend eternity is based on that, and lean not to your own understanding, because your understanding will always take you to the flesh. You try to understand the Word of God through your understanding, you'll redefine it to save your flesh. God is not out to save your flesh. He is not out to save your flesh. He created you, and you have flesh. And He knows your needs. But, you know, here's Jesus ready to die. And what was his attitude? Doesn't matter if I die. I trust in Dad. You know, he gave me promises. I'll trust in him. And then the kingdom of the world, that was self-esteem. And then jump off the pinnacle, pride of life. You know, the lust of the eyes, by the way, was the kingdom. Showing you, wow, this is what you can have. You know, get imagination. We'll get in a room and do some imagining. Oh, we can have a create a wonderful world where you can get in a car and you don't have to drive. It'll just drive you there. And all these wonderful things technology can do, you know. And oh, if we can just do this. But in the middle of the room, in the discussion comes in immorality. If we would quit telling that person working next to you that they need to repent and come to the Lord and hurting their feelings, we could work together as a team and get this project done more. You're causing division, dissension. I've talked to nurses that, you know, they realize they're in wards sometimes where people are dying, you know, that's there's no way to stop them from dying. And they witness to them knowing that they could die. They could not die, but they could lose their job. I've talked to teachers who were remediated for weeks, went back into training sessions, role-playing and all this, because they told their students that if they didn't behave, they were going to tell their parents. See, you imagine where your life can be, what you can have, and there's the lust of the eyes, and that's what Satan was doing with Eve in the garden. You can have this. You can have the world. And then the pride of life is you can control it. You control nothing. It controls you. Everything. You sit down and say, okay, I control my home. I control where the things are put. They control you. They're occupying your mind and your heart. It's not that we don't do that, but at the same time, they cannot take precedent over the Lord. You give them to him. They're his. The next breath you take is a gift from him. Everything you have is he created it. Now, man designed it. You know, reshaped it. He had to destroy something to shape it. So everything you see that man's touched, something was destroyed to make it. What God created was destroyed so man could make it, so he could sit down and worship it, the works of his hands. And so if you worship your house and the things around you that glitter, it's a lust of the eyes. And you have pride of life like, well, look what I have and you don't. That's not from God. That's not the gospel. That's church growth. You go to these mega churches, look what we have, you know. And the ministers face this. They go to Ministers Alliance, and your minister is approached by another and saying, how's your church growing? Oh, well, and I noticed a little box down there. Man, we got this really neat building. We got a program. If you use it, it works. Look at it. We're an example. Just start facilitating change from the pulpit. You'll pack them in. You'll have money flowing. You'll have good retirement, and you can take those cruises and all those things you ever imagined in the past, you can have. You don't have to be like John the Baptist out there in the boonies, mocked and ridiculed by the intellectuals. You can put the church on Main Street, and the world will come by it and say, wow, that's a wonderful work you've done. That's what we got going. So, but the true church, the true fellowship of saints, is a work of the Lord. And it's where two or three are gathered in His name. And it doesn't matter where. It's two or three. It's not a board deciding how the building's going to be built and who's going to mow the yard. The moment you have property, say, you're the temple. It's not that building down there. You're the temple. When you take communion, you're pouring that juice into your mouth and you're eating the bread. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are. God has called you out of the world. You're in it, but you're not of it. And that's why we need to continually trust in Him and quit leaning to our own understanding. And on all our ways, acknowledge Him, because all the blessings we have are from Him. Don't worship the blessing. Worship Him. And let Him be the one who directs your steps.